and you knew that today was going to be our last time meeting together for a little while, what would you preach on? Kind of rhetorical. It's a hard week to try to figure out what I wanted to say. Something around the idea of the birth of Christ seemed fitting, but not today, at least. I know that many of us are saddened to hear that we're not going to be meeting together again. I know many of you use this kind of moment that we come out of the world and come together in God's fellowship to worship Him as your recharge for the week. And it's crazy out there, as we're all aware, and this is a nice break from that. So you just get me being crazy for 20 minutes instead of everybody else being crazy for 24 hours. So this morning, what I want to do is look into a couple of passages that gives us some comfort. And that's what I need today. Maybe it's what you need as well. If not, then you can refer back to this video later if you happen to need it. The idea of us not being alone seemed to be on my mind this week. And I want to remind you that although we're not going to be together in fellowship and in worship in a physical space for a while, we are in God's fellowship all the time. And so if we look over into the book of Genesis together, Genesis 26. 16 years ago in one day, I was baptized into Christ. I have that Bible that was given to me my first visit, and then 2 weeks later, when I was baptized, my mother wrote what day I was baptized on, which I'm very thankful for. I would have forgotten a long time ago. 16 years in one day. It's been not that long compared to some of you who may have been Christians for a lot longer, but for me, it's been a pretty interesting 16 years. I remember what happened and what I felt like before I found the church, before I walked into the Gloucester Church of Christ, saw a guy in a suit and knew he had to be the preacher, and then I sat through worship confused as to what we were doing, and then at the very end, he took me back to his office and answered all my questions. I remember that before that, one night I was in my room, and I was quite sad, and I remember crying and saying, if there is a God, I am tired of being alone. And then I found the Bible. I found God's people, and I've not been alone since. So although we're going to be departing for a while from our fellowship, these are some words that I need to comfort myself. Genesis chapter 26. We don't find Abraham here, which is usually why we go to Genesis and towards the beginning of it. It's not creation. It's not Abraham. This is a guy named Isaac, who we don't know a whole lot about. He is the promised son through which God was going to bless the world. He was going to first bless Abraham, and then through his offspring, he would bless all the nations, including us, through Christ. But Isaac here is not with Abraham anymore. In Genesis 26, we drop down to verse 23 for context. From there, he went up to Beersheba. This is written after the fact. It wasn't called Beersheba back then. And then the Lord, verse 24, appeared to him that same night and said, I am, which is, of course, the way that God introduces himself, I am the God of Abraham, your father. So here we have kind of a passing of the torch. First, God called Abram from Haran to leave there, to leave the Ur of Chaldees, and go to a land that he would receive afterwards as an inheritance. And he left with Sarah, and with his family members and his slaves and so on, and he went on to this promised land, and he wandered for a long time waiting for this promise to be fulfilled, that he would be the father of many nations. And then here we have Isaac receiving a message from that God that chose Abram, that blessed him with this son to whom he's now speaking. I am the God of Abraham, your father. Do not be afraid, because. Now, I love the fear not, or do not be afraid. And then he tells him why he shouldn't be afraid. Ever been sad or depressed, and someone comes along and says, well, just get over it, just feel happy? Does that help you at all? Natasha says yes. Everybody else says no. So if you're sad, and someone says, just feel better, you can't really do that. If something is frightening you and you're scared, and someone says, don't be afraid. Is that helpful? I mean, kind of. I guess if it's God. But God says, fear not, because, or for, I am, there's God again, with you, and will bless you and multiply your offspring because of Abraham, my servant. So the encouragement here is not just don't be afraid. It's don't be afraid because God is with you during this process. If we look into Genesis chapter 28, a couple of pages later, we got a guy named Jacob. Now, the Jacob that we have here in this congregation is a great guy. The Jacob in this story, not my favorite guy in the world. I think I've made that pretty clear over the years. Now, Genesis 28, let's go to verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba, to the same location from which Isaac was talked to by God, and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place, stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. So not a very soft pillow. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder. Now that word in the Hebrew could be ladder or it could be staircase. And so that's kind of an idea to keep in your mind. The staircase was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. So here we have the chain. You have Abraham being blessed, God was with him. We have Isaac being blessed, God was with him. We have Jacob now being blessed because God is with him. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you, in your offspring, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. So there is that promise repeating again. Now let's drop all the way into the book of Joshua. We're jumping a lot here, quite obviously. This is probably my favorite passage that talks about this kind of theme of behold, I am with you, or I am with you always, because Joshua has got some big sandals to fill. You've got Moses, the man of God, the one who saw the angel of the Lord, the one who communed with God face to face. He dies. And now you have this nation that God promised Israel. And they're about to cross over the Jordan River and begin the conquest of the promised land. And the guy who's going to oversee it is Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, River Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea before the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then he repeats this, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Yesterday we had a baptism here. For those that didn't know, there was a lady in Mount Pleasant who's a member of the Church of Christ there. And she contacted me in the morning and said, hey, my daughter's coming to town. She wants to get baptized. And Mike, the preacher, said, call you. Can you help me? I go, of course. That's what we do. Of course we can. And so Melissa put down Luke for the nap around 1:30 or so. And then around 2, Maddie and I left. And we went to get a car wash. That's a very important part of the deal of leaving with Maddie is to get a car wash, always. And then we came here to make sure the water was not freezing and clean and so on. And so we waited and we waited and we waited and they finally showed up, which is great. You know, I've had times where I've prep things and no one's shown up for a while. So we were here waiting and playing in the nursery and washing our hands and checking the water and all these things, just going through the process. And it was fun to hang out with her for the afternoon. And then the people got here. And she didn't really know what was happening and who these people were and why were they all wearing face masks and all these things that no doubt for an almost four-year-old is kind of unsettling. But I was there. So she was kind of just by my leg and she was kind of hiding in the shadow a little bit and kind of peeking out and waving at people. And there was one moment yesterday that I remember. It was time for the baptism, and Maddie wanted to look at the water. That's all she wanted to do. But we had the camera set up to record this for the family, and so we couldn't be in the frame, couldn't be in the shot. She couldn't see the water. And so I needed to go up there to the AV room to get the video file on my phone to transfer over to the lady whose daughter was baptized. That's the whole process, right? So I had to leave her, and she seemed content here. And so I said, "All right, stay right here. I'll be right back." And then she stopped, and then she had these big eyes and said, "Can I go with you?" Because he wasn't sure about the people that were here. I go, "Yeah, of course, come on." So she came along and she just kind of followed me up there and I got the file and she came back down. Not a big deal. The reason why I tell that story is it made this sermon a bit more personal for me because I knew what she felt. She wasn't sure. She was uncomfortable a little bit. Not from the people, they were great. They're great Christians. But the idea of her being here by herself with people that she didn't really know, and she couldn't see me. She couldn't be with me, and I wasn't with her. It's a little unsettling for a three-year-old. I get it. But when God says time and time and time again to his people who are worried, who are afraid, who are unsure about what the future holds, when God says, "I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave. You'll never be forsaken. I'm with you." That's the comfort I'm trying to reach for this morning. Let's jump forward. We have a whole lot of passages here. Not enough time to talk about them. Let's just go Psalm 139. We'll go there and we'll have one more passage and then we'll be done for the day. Psalm 139. Let's begin in verse 7. The psalmist here, likely David, knows something that we often forget. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7. The psalmist writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, that's where you are. If I make my bed in the pit, there you are. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, 'Surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night,' even the darkness is not as dark as you, and the night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you, because you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." See how personal that is? How well does God know you? He made you before you were even made. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that you were formed for me. When as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." The psalmist knew what we're trying to get at. The fact that we can go anywhere in this world, God is with us. We can do anything that God asks us to do, and he's there as well. What a comfort that is. So let's go to Matthew chapter 28. It'll be a final passage for the day. Matthew 28, the context here is, of course, quite different than Genesis and Psalms. This is the record of the life and ministry of Jesus the Christ, likely 3.5 years of his full ministry, And then it kind of continues on from the torch being passed from the Son of God to his disciples, his apostles at this point, being sent on a mission. In Matthew 28, in verse 16, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Now, I don't know what the doubt's all about here. They knew it was the Christ. They knew it was Jesus. But the whole doubting thing here seems to be an inspiration for what happens next. In verse 18, "Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" So we're talking about God here. It's Jesus, yes, the Son of God, but we're talking about the Creator. This is God. All authority in heaven and on earth, that's God speaking. And here is what he says, verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples, followers, of all nations." There's that promise again. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So there's the commission. There's the plea. There's the discharge from Jerusalem that they were to go and spread the message of the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise, the one that was passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob through Israel. Here's the Messiah, God, saying, "Go and bless the nations with the gospel." And then verse 20, "Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age," or the world, your translation might say. It's the same promise repeated again. It's going to be difficult. It's been a weird year, to say the least. But to be away from you guys and to know that we can be together in a digital way, to still worship together, to still be together in fellowship with God through the Spirit, is an encouragement. It also is encouraging to me to know that God is with us no matter what. If anyone has a need to respond to the invitation, please respond by coming forward now as we stand and we sing.